today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 244, and this week we have a very special guest who I'm super excited to introduce to you. I'm Marie Mosley, I'm the support lead here at Code Pen, and with me today is our special guest, Christopher Van Sant. Hey Christopher.
Hello.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm super excited to get to introduce you to everyone. Although, honestly, I kind of think you might not need too much of an introduction. I think the Code and Pen community knows you pretty well. Christopher is very often in the pics on the front page of Code Pen. One of my very recent favorites of yours is the illustration you did of Deet from the Dark Crystal series on Netflix. That was really nice.
Yeah.
That was a CSS illustration, right?
It was SVG. I made it in Illustrator and then animated it with CSS.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that you did SVG illustration. I need to look a little bit more closely at the code, don't I? But also, another reason why people in the community would know you is that you have done the Pass the Pen community for quite a while now and done some really cool events there. And also, you have a brand new thing called the Collab Mode Extravaganza, which is very exciting, very cool. And that's on Twitch, right?
Yes. It's a live stream that we do with just a bunch of people and collaborating on a pen.
That's so cool. So the collab mode, the last one that you did, or that was actually the very first one, right?
Yeah, that was the first time.
And that
Pastel.
Was, that had so many people involved. I was so amazed at how many people dropped in on the show. And I loved the color palette that you chose for that. How did you pick the color palette?
So I wanted to kind of make it a little more generic and vague. So we had several options and then put it to a Twitter vote.
Oh, cool.
And then Pastel got the most votes, so that's what we went with.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the Twitter poll for that, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the idea was just to get in there and collaborate and just sort of start working with just the color theme, or was there something else?
Yeah, it was just the color theme. So we started with a blank page and just basically said, like, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time, anybody can kind of jump in and join and add whatever they wanted as long as it, you know, kind of fit into the theme and was appropriate. And I was just amazed how many people, you know, joined in and everything that everybody added. It was awesome. So much fun.
That is so cool. How many people ended up collaborating in the end? It was quite a few, right?
I think in total we had about 12 people.
Oh, wow.
And then so we did a live stream of it and had the option of people being able to, you know, share their video and chat with everyone too if they wanted to. And that I was surprised how many people were willing to, like, jump in and chat and show their face with everybody and stuff. So
it kind of had the vibe of almost like a meetup, because it was a whole bunch of people getting together and just, you know, collaborating on a piece of code. Super cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, it was super cool because everybody was from different places, you know, different states in the U.S. And we had people in the U.K. We had people in Germany join. So that was super cool. Like, you know, just so many people on different time zones and stuff coming in when they could.
That's awesome. And what the end result was, like, a little person, like, wearing a Code Pen t-shirt and stuff, which I just thought was the cutest thing.
That's Henry.
That's Henry. That's right. That was your co-host, right?
Yes. So I was so thankful to Henry because I tweeted out about wanting someone to host it with me. Because I had no idea how this was gonna go, and he reached out to me and wanted to host it. And he does live streams on Twitch too. So, you know, we chatted and kind of came up with a plan, and then the day of, just did it, had each other's backs, and, you know, it was just awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. So are you and Henry, are you in the same time zone, or was that also, like, different time zones coordinating?
Yeah, different time zones. I think he's in Colorado.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did, like, earlier my time so that more people in other time zones could kind of join in. And I think, like, for the UK, it was the evening for them. And just kind of making sure that, like, I wanted as many people as possible to be able to participate. So we did it like a 7-hour stream.
Wow.
And then everybody could just kind of jump in when they wanted to. Oh, and then Christina, she's in Costa Rica, and she joined
in too. Oh, that's right. Christina Gorton. She's been on the show before. So that's so cool that she was able to jump in.
Yeah. So it was just awesome. Like, everybody could just jump in when they had the time and stay as long or as little as they wanted. They could contribute as much or as little as they wanted. And the end result is just so interesting.
Yeah, it really is. I thought that was really fun to see, like, what everybody came up with together. And I have to commend you on, you know, keeping it clean, because when you open something up like that, you don't know what you're going to get. So
it's been, I think, with, you know, the pass the pen and the collab mode, that's one thing that I've been, like, very, you know, adamant about, is just making sure that it's appropriate for people of all ages, keeping it clean, because, you know, you want everyone to be able to kind of learn to code and get involved with stuff. So I didn't want to exclude anyone.
Yeah, it's tough to do, especially at scale, and especially when you're working live, because, I mean, you don't know what might end up happening.
You have to, you have to be very trusting of people. And I did have some, like, ground rules that I sent to the people that I knew were going to be involved ahead of time, just kind of setting a little basis for, you know, what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate.
Right. I think setting a tone is important too, just a little bit of leading by example. And I totally see that in what you've done there. You know, the topic is friendly, is welcoming to everyone. And I like that you keep that vibe throughout everything that you do. So the Collab Mode Extravaganza, that was with Collab Mode, the CodePen feature, where you just open it up and have people join in and everybody can be coding at the same time.
Yeah.
With that many people, it must have gotten pretty wild. That's a lot of cursors.
Yeah, and so we decided to just have the view, like, mostly the window of, you know, what was happening and less of the code. Because so many people, including myself, had never, you know, coded in front of people. So we didn't want too much spotlight on what people were actually writing to not, you know, make anyone uncomfortable
or
embarrassed.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of people, but there, I think it helped that with the different time zones, people were kind of jumping in at different times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there weren't, like, I don't think there was ever a time where all 12 people were in it at once. Wait, I mean, it could happen.
It's possible, but it's, that would be more cursors than I'd want to see at once, I think.
Yes.
I do get what you mean, though, about keeping the focus on the result rather than the typing of the code, because it's over time, over talking to people, I've realized this is not just me. I cannot stand it when someone's watching me type.
Yeah.
And as soon as someone's watching me type, I just don't know how to spell anything. I'm just making typos and putting brackets in the wrong spot. So you just instantly seize up. It's way easier to just focus on the end result and see what's actually coming out on the other side. So that was a really smart move.
Yeah. And I think, what everybody came up with as a result of all of that. Did you notice the burger and the CodePen logo on the shirt?
I didn't. Oh no, I have to check that out.
That's my favorite. I think I love the whole pen and all the stuff equally. But I think my favorite thing is that in the CodePen logo on Little Henry's shirt, there's an animated burger.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, this is so cute. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's, oh man, what a cool pen. Yeah, we're going to put a link to this one in the show notes so everybody can check it out, because it's so great. And honestly, it deserves more attention because it's just such a cool pen.
This episode of Code Pen Radio is brought to you by WooCommerce, you know, the e-commerce plugin for your WordPress sites. It's so, like, wonderfully customizable and super powerful e-commerce solution. It's like reason to pick WordPress is because you get WooCommerce and can do all that super powerful e-commerce stuff with it. Super flexible, super good SEO. There's like 450 extensions available to extend what it's able to do. With WooCommerce, you own your own data forever. It's backed by a global community of people passionate about open source. You know, it's been around a long time. Just the WooCommerce team is 110 people. So I'll tell you something about its, its longevity and its powerfulness. It is like a serious e-commerce solution. We use it right here on the, if you've ever bought a CodePen t-shirt, we have a WordPress site that powers like our blog and this podcast and our documentation and our store, because we just, you know, we already have a WordPress site. It takes 2 seconds to throw WooCommerce up there and set pricing and figure out your distribution and all that. And it just works great for us. In our case, it's a little set it and forget it. You know, I can't even remember the last time I like had any kind of problem with our store, which to me is somebody who's often very worried about technical debt, is something to say. So big fan of WooCommerce and thanks to them for sponsoring this show.
You're actually planning another one of these events fairly soon, right?
Yes, I'm trying to get another one going. I just started tweeting about it this week and end of last week just to try to get some momentum and see, you know, when would be a good time for people. So hopefully soon, in the next few weeks or so, we can get another one going. Awesome. And get other people who didn't get a chance to join in last time, give them a chance to join in and see what happens.
What's really cool about this is that, you know, with meetups and things like that, like physical events, like in person, this mm-hmm. time of year is when it starts to get super hard because people mm-hmm. are like traveling for the holidays and stuff like that. But this is the type of stuff where it's like, if you've gone home for the holidays, you can still open your browser.
Yeah.
You can still get in.
Yeah.
You can excuse yourself and, and go start coding.
Yeah. And one of the things I always try to tell people is like, they can contribute as much or as little as they want to. So if you only have 5 minutes time to jump in and add something, like, that's totally awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we still value your contribution. So even if, you know, people are busy, they can still kind of just add something small if they want to.
That's so cool. And so this kind of grew out of, I'm sort of working backwards here because I mm-hmm. led with collab mode here, but this came out of another thing that you've been doing, the Pass the Pen project, which
yes.
started out, if I'm not mistaken, as a Twitter hashtag, right?
Yeah. So the Pass the Pen just kind of started, I just was really wanting to work with people and do something with others because I was working from home a lot and working, you know, mostly by myself and wasn't really getting a chance to collaborate with other developers. And so I just tweeted about, you know, wanting to do this kind of pass the pen thing. And I was surprised how many people wanted to do it too. And then we just kind of started this hashtag pass the pen and started, you know, doing these little collaborative projects and passing them between people and just seeing what comes out of them.
That's so cool. So the passing, it's like fork, 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 right? Like each person forks it and adds something new?
Yeah. So the first two that we did, because originally I, you know, wanted an excuse to use collab mode because uh-huh. I hadn't used it before. And so the first one we did a deep sea pen and then a deep space. And then one we did forking and then the other we used collab mode.
Oh, cool.
And I found that with like the actual passing of the pen between people, the forking was better for that. So basically what happens, you come up with a theme and then someone starts the pen and adds something, and then the next person forks it, adds another thing, next person forks it, And the process just keeps continuing until there's either no more room in the pen or or till everybody's that wanted to add something did.
Oh, that's so cool. So are there any rules about what you can add, like outside of like, you know, obviously like keep it clean and stuff, but like, do you have parameters for each one that are like, this is what you should put in?
No, I mean, I try to keep it pretty open, apart from, yeah, like just keep it clean, like, and then don't undo what somebody else has done.
Oh, okay.
And so you can add to what someone has done and enhance it in some way. Like if someone just put in something that's static, you could animate it, but just don't remove anything that was there before.
Cool. Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like a piece of collaborative art, like a mural or something.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. So you work as a freelance developer, right?
Yes.
Awesome. And like, what type of stuff do you do? What do you build?
So I usually do websites for individuals and then small businesses. And then I also occasionally do contract work for a company that focuses on dental and orthodontic sites. So mostly HTML, CSS, front-end things.
Nice. Yeah. So you're just like working on like the real stuff that people work with every single day. So it's probably a little bit of fun then to get to break away and do the more arty stuff.
Yes. Yes. I love doing more of this stuff, working with people and, you know, doing the more fun, artsy, silly things.
Do you find though that like helps out with your everyday stuff? Because I've spoken to a couple of people who do, you know, a little bit more out there stuff on CodePen and who do like very practical work in their day jobs, and the two things actually kind of inform each other. Like you learn things that you're doing in the arty world and mm-hmm. you take them back to the real world.
Yeah, totally. I think because with the creative coding, the art aspect of it, you know, you do have these constraints and limitations that you kind of put yourself into and, you know, problem solve your way out of those things or how you're going to create something. And I think that definitely translates into, you know, your day-to-day work that you do and helps there.
I've seen people do things like to kind of like experiment with practical technologies, like things like Grid and Flexbox mm-hmm. and stuff like that, which you're using like, those have incredibly practical purposes, and then you can do some really wacky things with them too.
Yeah. And I know, like, personally, I definitely learn and retain better when I'm having fun with something. And so I think, like, when you do these kind of projects that, you know, you're having fun, you're working with other people, that you're going to remember those, you know, coding tricks and the how to do things more than you might if you were just kind of going through a tutorial and, you know, not having as much fun.
Yeah, I totally see that with how people learn and grow on CodePen. I'm very lucky because I get to see people evolve on CodePen. Yeah. I get to see them from the very beginning and, you know, grow as developers as they go. And I've absolutely seen people use that, you know, having fun to actually learn and really understand things.
Yeah.
It's a really, really nice thing to get to see. It's always very exciting. So some things I've seen you experiment with, I've seen you do a lot of interesting stuff with Shape Outside.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't fully understand it myself. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, what is Shape Outside? How does it work? What's it for?
Yeah, Shape Outside, it's a CSS property for CSS shapes. And it basically is used to kind of flow text, you know, around something or between something. And it just, you can make really interesting shapes. But yeah, so you use Shape Outside to just, you know, control the flow of the text, and you can create, you know, really unique shapes with either like circles, or I like to do little waves sometimes, and make just kind of like have the text itself be and the shape of something that it wouldn't normally be, I guess.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Like, there's one that I remember where it's like a raindrop shape, And then there's text inside of that. And that is just so cool. Like, it reminds me of kind of like magazine layout. Like, you know, the way that the magazines would just like have something curve around a photo or something like that. So it's super cool to see that like actually happening on the web.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that I am surprised that more people aren't kind of playing with and experimenting. I think some of it, you know, people might not really see the practical use of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's just so interesting. And I love like the magazine layouts, and even newspapers will do stuff like that. They'll like make the text in the shape of something. And so that's where I kind of get a lot of my inspiration. I have a Pinterest board that's just full of hundreds of examples of text in various shapes.
Oh, really?
And stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to take a look at that. Yeah. I love Pinterest. I'm on there all the time.
It is great.
I kind of wonder about Shape Outside if possibly the reason why we don't see a ton of it is that for like a real long time, it was not very cross-browser. It was not supported for quite a while. And I kind of think, you know how sometimes like you hear about a new thing for the web and you're like, oh, that'll be awesome when it works.
Yes.
And then you just kind of tuck it away and forget about it. I kind of wonder if it's like that, because if I'm not mistaken, it's pretty well supported at this point, right? Like most of the modern browsers will allow for it.
Yeah, I think there was a time where it wasn't supported on Firefox, and then now it is. And so, but now like I find that there's still some variation between Firefox and Chrome.
Mm.
And like I made a giraffe with Shape Outside, like where all the spots of the giraffe are text.
Ooh,
and
cool.
That one, it looks awesome in Firefox. And then in Chrome, like everything, you know, is kind of falling apart. But then other ones like are a little bit more consistent. But yeah, I think there's still just a little bit of differences between the implementations to where people might not be comfortable. But I think too, maybe like the designers who, you know, are great at coming up with beautiful layouts and things might not know that it exists.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more people kind of experimenting with it, because it's super fun. And it's, you know, there's a lot of documentation on it, and the Firefox has dev tools that you can use with Shape Outside, where you can actually like move the points around the shape.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And so that I use pretty much all the time for any of the Shape Outside stuff I do, because a little tip, you can like put an image of what you want the shape to be. Like if you want to make a heart, have an image of a heart and put it as the background, and then you can use the dev tools to add the points around
Wow, for real?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
and
awesome.
Then you just kind of like trace it with the Firefox dev tools, just trace the image and then copy that into your
I gotta try this. Oh, that's so cool. So yeah, I had like little side note, the Firefox dev tools, like the latest versions of Firefox, have been incredible for CSS stuff.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Just really, really, really stepped up their game over there, to the point where it's like, I cannot wait to see how many more things are coming from there, and like how often developers are going to start using Firefox. I'm a big Firefox user. I love Firefox very much. But I know from where I sit at CodePen that almost everybody who uses CodePen is using Chrome. And especially because I do the, you know, I do the pics. I do a big chunk of the pics on CodePen. I'll open up a pen in Firefox first and I'm like, what is this supposed to be? It's blank page or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I better take a look in Chrome because they said it's something. And then I'll look at it in Chrome and I'm like, oh, all right, cool. It's a cool thing. But it's like, it's literally nothing in Firefox, or it's super funny in Firefox. Like I'll get Actually, Firefox has fixed this, but there used to be a thing where you would have animation that would work beautifully, just like seamlessly in Chrome. And then you open it up in Firefox and the thing is just spinning around the page. Like whatever it was supposed to be doing is just like spinning in a circle. And then this is years back now. They fixed it, but me and Tim Holman used to open these up and just laugh together. We would get the weirdest stuff. There was one that was a gag between us for a little while where there's a girl swinging on a swing and it was beautiful in Chrome. And then on Firefox, just looked like she was looping the top of the swing over and over and over. It was really funny to see those differences. But those differences, the gap is really starting to close there.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting to see. And the new dev tools that are coming out, just their specific attention that they're paying to CSS is just so cool, so exciting to see.
It's so awesome. There's so many things like the shape outside tool or CSS shapes tool, the grid tool, and then the flexbox thing too. Like all of those, I mean, they're just, I feel like, game changers especially for learning. Like they just help so much. I use all of those all the time. And
that's
awesome.
A good tip about shape outside. I had no idea. I am totally going to do something with that.
Yes.
I have to try it now.
It is what I do for pretty much all of my shape outside projects is like tracing an image, because it's hard. I mean, without that, you know, it's hard to visualize where things should be. But if you, you know, have something that you can kind of either that you made yourself or something, a shape that you want to replicate, then totally do that.
That is so awesome. Yeah. I'm going to have to pick apart your pens that you made. Now that I know this, I'm going to have to try some things out, because honestly, I love designs that incorporate text. Like that's just like a thing I personally really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So it's super nice to see that.
Oh, thank you.
So I kind of distracted myself with the shape outside. I also wanted to talk to you a bit more about the Pass the Pen, because I want to talk specifically about the escape room. I want to know everything about the escape room, how that came together, and just the pen itself is. I have gone back to it a couple times. I actually have not escaped. I have not solved it yet.
Oh my goodness!
But that's okay. But that's down to me being bad at puzzles and escape rooms. Like I'm the type of person who would you put me in an escape room, I'm calling the cops in 20 minutes. I'm like, help! I'm trapped. You know, I'm just not good at puzzles. So this is nothing about the puzzle itself. I'm just terrible at puzzles. But I want to know all about how this came together.
Yeah. So this one. We did this one a little different than other ones, but Cheryl Velez, she came up with the theme, and then we just kind of started collaborating on how it was going to look, and someone came up with the idea of it being like a cyberpunk kind of setting.
Nice.
And I think we all got a little eager, and then like all went and built like puzzles to put in here. And then this was at the beginning of the year, but then a lot of people, like, kind of life just got in the way and people got busy with things, so it kind of like set unfinished for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where everybody, you know, had made these really cool puzzles, but they were all kind of individual and weren't into one pin yet. And so I kind of try to bring, you know, us together again to get it finished, because we had some pins in the past that we started and didn't finish. And this one, like, I just loved the idea of this escape room and really wanted to see it finish. And Dominic Duffin Paul and I just started working together a lot to finish it up, and I used a bunch of SVGs from the Noun Project.
Oh, cool.
And kind of used those for the scene, the image, just to kind of keep it simple and kind of get it going, and then put those in place. And then we attached the puzzles to different things in the room that we kind of felt tied to the puzzle itself, and then try to put an overall like theme and look around everything to make it feel a little bit more cohesive. Because you seem like some of the other pins, like you can kind of, or other past the pins, you could kind of tell like different people, you know, made different parts. And this one, like we really wanted it to feel like, you know, one thing.
Yeah, this has a very unified style.
Yeah. So there's, how many puzzles are there?
Too many for me. I can't get out of here.
There's, let's see, I was going to count the logs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 puzzles. And so if you're stuck.
No, don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything.
I won't tell you. But you can find the puzzles like by hovering and they'll change colors.
Mm.
So if you hover over different items in the room, like if it's a puzzle, it'll change color. And then once you solve that puzzle, a lock on the door will unlock.
Aha, interesting. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to win. Now I'm going to escape. But yeah, this presented a challenge to me. So, but that's super cool. I mean, to have a playable game like this that mm-hmm. a bunch of people work together on. And this was organized through the Spectrum community, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, we opened up a thread in Spectrum and everybody kind of communicated and collaborated through that. And then Dominic, Paul, and I, when we were using collab mode a lot to finish it up. And one thing in collab mode that's super awesome is the chat feature. So we were like chatting through that a lot too. Yeah. So there's one of the things with this one was there was a puzzle that someone had made that didn't quite get finished, or we don't know how to solve it. And I didn't want it to, you know, go to waste because someone worked hard on it. So we kind of came up with a little clever thing to keep it in the pin, but come up with a little alternate ending for that puzzle.
Oh, how cool. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I really like the unified look of it. To me, when I first saw this, I'm like, how did they do it like this? This is just like, it's so clean looking, you know? And I just love that it was put together through the Pass the Pen community. It feels like such a evolution for the form of Pass the Pen, you know?
Yes.
It's got this unified look, and it's got this complexity to it, but it's still fun. It's still, you know, it's a game, and I just love it.
Yeah. I think like this is the escape room and the collab mode extravaganza were both kind of like things that I had really been hoping for since day one of Pass the Pen. And like just they were just like the ultimate dream, I guess, with it. Like when we first started Pass the Pen, like I kind of had this vision of what I thought the pins would look like and like, or what I wanted them to look like. And then, you know, they turn out super different, which is super awesome. But I always kind of wanted it to start going in a direction where it's like getting people to work together to make something that feels a lot more cohesive and feels like one kind of overall thing. And I think with the escape room, like several of us had been doing Pass the Pen since day one. And I think we were kind of ready to take it to the next level in complexity. And, you know, thanks to Cheryl for coming up with the awesome theme that everyone got super excited about.
Yeah, that was a real cool choice. And it was, I remember seeing it in the Spectrum community, like the group was all trying to work out something to work on. And it was just kind of, it's like one of those things where, and I see this a lot, just, you know, seasonality of people's availability, you know, mm-hmm. like people are just more available at certain times of the year than they are at others. And yeah. there's just nothing you can do about it. And when you're yep. trying to coordinate across a large group, especially when you're talking about a group that's literally around the world, like coordination, it just becomes very difficult. And I was like, oh, you know, like I've seen community things come and go in my time at CodePen. It's just natural. It's just how how life goes, you know? So I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, I hope this isn't where it starts to peter out, you know? And
yeah.
then for everybody to come together and make this, when it all came back together, I was like, oh yes. Like, this is really impressive and just a real feat of collaboration. So this is one of my favorite things that I've seen. I'm going to put a better effort into actually beat the puzzle now.
But yes.
But I just love looking back on it when people, it's fun for me to be able to point to this when people, especially people who like used to be part of CodePen like years ago, will come back and be like, you know, oh, you know, I kind of, you know, miss the community that I was part of. I was like, well, community is still here.
Yeah.
And you should check this out. Like, look at what people are doing. This is super cool, you know? And it's so nice to see. I mean, this is a collaboration of people who are new to CodePen, people who have been in the CodePen community for a long time. And it's so, so awesome to see that all come together.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I just love. Like, it's just getting people that, you know, like you said, are new. They might be a little intimidated to either work with other people or to even just put themselves out there. And that's why, like, with Pass the Pen, I always try to encourage people, like, join, even if you just tell, like, give the idea of changing a color to an item, like, still come in and chat with us and be a part of it. Cause that, you know, one color change could, you know, change the whole feel of a pen.
Totally.
And like affect how things turn out. And it's that idea is super important. And so with this, it was just awesome to see like so many different levels of people, you know, working together. And Paul, he had never done one of the Pass the Pens before, and that was his first one that he was a part of. And he wrote a super lovely blog post about his experience with it and just how, you know, it helped him and boosted his confidence, and just really nice things that I was just shocked to hear.
Yeah, you shared a link to that with me before this episode, and I read it this morning, and I love how he calls it tutorial purgatory is what he got out of by joining this. I know exactly what he means. The idea of like, you're starting to learn something and you're just doing tutorials and you just don't feel like it's like you can go through the tutorial, you can complete it, you know, you got the 100 points or whatever for finishing the tutorial, but you didn't learn anything. Like, nothing gets internalized, and it's just like, okay, well, it's just kind of like checking off boxes and you get it sort of, but there is nothing like learning in a hands-on experience like this. And Paul's point, and also, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the comments on the post, but there's other people in there saying same thing for them, you know, getting involved in Pass the Pen and getting involved in the community that you're fostering here has really opened them up and helped them like actually understand what they're doing with front end. And that is just so valuable.
It's so awesome. Cause I mean, that wasn't something that I was even thinking about when I was starting Pass the Pen. Like, it was, you know, a little more selfish where I was like, I want to work with awesome people and I want to use collab mode and, you know, do things with people. And then it's helped me grow so much too. And so to see that it's had a positive effect on other people is just, I am just so appreciative of everybody that's been involved.
It is such a beautiful part of the community. Like, I just, every time I go into the Spectrum community to see what everybody's up to and all that, I just see the Pass the Pen crowd just doing the coolest stuff. So
I just
cannot be more grateful to you for what you've done. I've seen every step of the way, all the work that you've put into this, and I really, really appreciate it. Like, I've seen you grow as a developer and I've seen you grow as a person organizing a community, and I know how hard both of those things are. So it's really, really gratifying to me to see that happening on CodePen, which is like, you know, it's like kind of what I'm trying to do too. So it's like, it's super cool to see it be successful at the level that it's been successful, and you've really done an incredible job. So that was why I wanted to have you on. You know, I wanted to let everybody know about this incredibly cool thing that's going on in the community.
Oh, thank you. So much.
What is next for the Pass the Pen world?
I have so many ideas. So hopefully, like, with all this, we'll do another collab mode extravaganza again soon. And I'm kind of, like, just seeing, you know, how, what people's schedules are like, because, like I said, everybody's super busy and spread across the world in different time zones. So I'm sure we'll be doing some more soon. One of my ultimate dreams, I've like tweeted a little bit about it, is doing this like little art exhibition, like with digital front end art stuff. And I think it would be so awesome to have, like, if you did something like that in like a couple different countries or a few different countries, and have a collaborative project that's like set and there and then connected to the other places where this like exhibit is hosted.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then have people like that aren't necessarily developers, you know, come and collaborate on pins and projects and stuff.
Oh man. That's that would be so cool.
Ultimate, that's like my ultimate dream.
Like an art installation. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
I
think that would be fun. And then have like, collaborative projects within that installation that people can be a part of and with others around the world.
That's such a cool idea. Oh man, that's got my wheels spinning now.
There's so many possibilities. There's so many things that you can do with, you know, CodePen and other tools, like to collaborate with other people from all over and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what's next.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see whatever you do next, because everything that you've done has always knocked my socks off, for sure.
Thank you.
And of course, if people want to get involved in Pass the Pen, the Spectrum community, spectrum.chat/codepen, has its own channel in there that's all about Pass the Pen. So if you want to jump in there, that's the place to get started. But also another very good place to get started is to just follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's RosieBob, RosieBob.
Awesome. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But I know that I see you tweeting quite often about what's going on with Pass the Pen. So that's the perfect place to be up to date on what's going on in Pass the Pen. And with Christopher's amazing account, because really, I mean, like, you should follow Christopher on CodePen as well. He's doing amazing work. So I'm gonna put links to that in the show notes. I'll also put a link to, you have a collection of the Pass the Pen pens, which has everything, including the escape room that we were talking about at length through the show here. And also, you're also on Twitch, right? It's Collab TV?
Yes. So you can, if you follow on Twitch, then you'll be notified of when we do another collab mode extravaganza.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, learn how to use Twitch.
Yes. And then you can join in on the next one.
I can jump in there. I can say hi to everybody at the very least. My coding skills these days, a little bit rusty. I might only be in there changing colors.
Okay.
But it would be
great to
come in and join everybody.
Yeah, we would love it.
All right. Well, thanks again. Thanks so much for coming on the show. And thanks for everything that you do for the community. You are an absolute gem. And I really appreciate you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
All right. And thanks for listening to the show, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Six, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 6, 0, 3, 1, 8.